Welcome to Random Rambles. I'm Tasha.
And I'm Amy.
And we're here to talk about whatever we feel like talking about.
Like earworms. Things that get stuck in your head. Certain songs, like Jurassic Park theme song.
No, the edited version of it on... It's like that really cheesy one on TikTok.
Yeah.
I show you one TikTok and you haven't let it go for 4 hours.
I know. It's just an earworm that won't go away.
It's in the brain.
And I might go insane.
Oh, that was good. Oh, my God.
Yep. Off and racing.
Speaking of corrupted brains...
Oh, good segue.
I just thought I'd bring up this 200-year-old boys' school in Sydney, I think it is. It's Australia's like oldest Catholic school, and it is an all-boys school at this stage, but people are losing their minds because it's going to go co-ed.
What? Question before you go into the story. Were there originally priests at the school?
Considering it's a Catholic school, I'm going to guess so.
Okay.
But We're not a Catholic family, so I have no idea.
No, I don't know either, so I'm asking.
If it's not priests, then it might have been...
Nuns?
Yeah. Apparently they're quite terrifying.
Well, that's co-ed, isn't it?
Is it? Because the nuns walk around with a switch, don't they? I'm not sure if that's co-ed or just corporal punishment.
True. Okay.
So they're preparing. They have not started, but they are preparing to enroll girls from kindergarten.
Sounds like we're brand new.
Yeah,
like females have just been invented.
Yeah, just preparing. But they're not. They're only going to open applications to male and female students alike in 2025. So there is a whole nother year to go.
To get used to it, accustomed to
it? I'm guessing that they've done that because they realised, considering that there are grown men crying in public on national TV, saying that they've been sold a lie over their over this school being a boys' school. But I don't understand what the problem is. Maybe I just have a uniquely female look at this, but...
No, you don't. Weirdly enough, we talked about this before we jumped on recording, but the whole world is co-ed.
Yeah, there's no getting away from it.
Like, you can't avoid...
If you want to get away from it completely, you kind of got to get away from every person on the planet. Yeah, every people. Yeah. Every person on the planet.
Well, that's so even if you went from prep right through to end of grade 12 as... all boys school. Weirdly enough, if you go to university or join the workforce, whichever your choice, or go into a trade, you're going to encounter females. I'm just not sure where now you'd go for one singular gendered workplace or university. I don't think any university exists where it's just one gender that attends. So, come on, guys. Let's be real about this. It's not going to be a giant shock to everybody.
No, but maybe because I was put through the public schooling system as a child myself, and that my nieces and nephews have gone through public, and you know, I'm not planning on sending my kids to private at this stage. Public is fine.
Yeah,
but I have never understood why there needs to be that separation.
Because no, me neither.
You have to learn to get along with each other. But if you... And it's something that I have noticed is that there's a lot of boys that are sort of taught a misogynistic worldview.
Yeah.
That it takes them a long time to break when they leave those schools because they are so insular.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm thinking maybe... That's why people are moving to get rid of it. Because we are not a society that can have that anymore.
No, definitely not.
What are these guys going to do when they get out in the real world and their bosses are female?
Oh, exactly.
You can't just stand there and be like, well, I went to this all-boys school, so I don't have to listen to you.
Could you even, like, just a conversation around, like, I would prefer a male boss? Would you now?
Yeah, well, maybe you should work at a different company then.
We're a co-ed world, like, just full stop. No matter where you go, there's going to be both genders matriculating together. Yeah. So, okay. I feel like there's bigger issues to cry about on the street than a school.
They're talking about doing a like legal action against the school for this. Yeah.
I haven't got the giggles at our dear listeners. It's just, this is stupidly funny. It is. What an overhyped reaction.
Yeah, they've done an online petition, but my favourite thing about the online petition far is that people have signed it just so that they could comment how utterly ludicrous it is.
Yes.
So there's like, someone signed it and then they've gone, I don't understand what the problem is.
Yeah. No one understands their side, their trauma.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not just grown men crying that their sons or their grandsons or whatever are going to have to share a classroom with a woman, a girl. How dare they? There are mothers crying about it. And I'm like, would this not be a good thing? Because it means that from a young age, you can start teaching them to respect the other, like the opposite sex.
Yeah.
You can start teaching them that it doesn't matter whether they're male, female, Catholic, not Catholic. Everyone is deserving of that basic level of respect.
Yeah.
But, okay. There's a letter that's been written by lawyers that have been sent to, college to challenge the college's legal right to enroll girls based on its general objects, which date back to its establishment in 1873. Arguing that the school council, as trustee of a charitable trust, does not have the power to change the original purpose for establishment of Newington College, which was to educate boys and young men. It questions whether the move to become co-ed breaches terms of the trust, states that the college website shows it is clear the college was conceived as open to the sons of parents of all religious denominations, even though it's a Catholic school.
Sure.
The college, upon its inception, was intended to be and has been a college in particular for the advancement of education of boys and young men. Upon establishment of the college and the establishment of the charitable trust of which the council holds property, it was never contemplated that girls or young women would be educated by the college. It says that the school, also the college, received funding from government sources and made representations to the Australian Charities and Not-for-Profits Commission as an institution educating boys and male students. At that time, that's what they were doing. But I would dare argue that having girls and young women in the college is still teaching young men to be an active and helpful member of society.
Yeah.
Respectful member of society.
I feel sorry for the girls in grade 8 starting in 2025. They're going to go through a lot of shit. I think.
Yes.
And being grade 8, you're not still equipped. You're still quite young to be, I don't know, that's a lot of old guard thinking.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering, my thing is that I'm wondering if they go, because I know that a lot of these schools that started out as just male or just female schools and have now become co-ed, a lot of them started by having male and female students, but all male and all female classes.
Yeah.
And then slowly integrating them as the school got used to having them all on campus and then slowly integrating them into mixed classes.
Yeah.
Because this has obviously had a lot of pushback from the families, which are, as usual,
they sound like the mob.
They sound worse than the mob. They're freaking rich bitch Sydney siders.
Oh, God. Yeah. But what, it's clearly historical hangover of what should be and what isn't anymore.
Yeah, I've never seen, you know, men in their 70s crying over their grandson's education quite like that before.
But it's not, like, nothing's going to change in the way they get educated.
You and I know that. Went to public schools. We had to deal with the dickhead boys in the class.
Let's give it up for public schools. Whoop, 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 whoop. That's the thing. Like the only disruption, if you can even call it that, is just boys being boys in classes. So, you know, throwing things at girls, pulling on girls' hair, like pigtails.
Getting slapped by girls.
Yeah. pulling chairs out from underneath you.
Throwing paper airplanes across the room. Literally. And I mean, some of what they, like, actually, most of the schools I went to, most of the stuff that the boys were doing, it wasn't really aimed at the girls. It was just that the girls were in the way. So there'd be like a group of them sitting at the front of the room, a group of them sitting at the back of the room, and then everyone's in between. And you'd end up with the spitball on you, but it was meant for the dude sitting behind you.
Yeah.
Like, oh, sorry. I was aiming for him. Yeah. Whack. Aim for him better.
Yeah. So, you know, everyone plays up too. You know, there's a moment in time when everyone's not the best student at one time in their grade or, you know, going to
every time.
School.
Teenagers, to start with, are the worst of the worst humans generally because they are a complete fluctuation of hormones.
Yeah.
Their brain is not developed properly yet. Like, nope. I think the latest studies show that your brain doesn't fully settle into who you are until you're 25.
Yep.
So you're still making shit decisions.
Yep.
You're all over the place because of your hormones and your emotions are fluctuating and you're in this really high stress environment and then everyone else is all fluctuating hormones and stress.
There's a lot of things flying around.
There's a lot going on. And I think my favourite part about high school is the fact that you are this complete wreck of a person because everything is still messed up in your biology trying to settle into who you are.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, you're 14 now. Choose what you want to do for the rest of your life.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And then we've got parents that are like, no, we can't choose what he's going to do for the rest of his life with girls.
Oh, I know. How dare you even suggest such a thing?
I feel like they'd be, like, the mums that I've seen on TV, they would be the epitome of a toxic boy mum.
Sure.
You don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
Well, I just immediately, my mind gravitated to the Mean Girls mum.
No.
Okay.
Toxic boy mum is, it's a specifically is supposed to denote those mums that, like, are really, like, their son can get away with everything. There's nothing wrong with them. They're the perfect gentleman.
Uh-huh.
And then their daughter is, like, bitch, and she's in competition with her, and she can never get anything right. And
right.
Or you know, the toxic mother-in-law where you, like, marry a good man, but his mother makes your life hell because, well, you've stolen my baby boy.
Uh-huh.
I was like, he's 32. Nobody did any stealing here.
he actually
proposed to me. So it's like that sort of, that's like the toxic boy mum where the son can't do anything wrong and it doesn't matter if you have daughters, but they always see another female as competition for their son's affection.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I feel like the mums that are standing up for this, if not fully toxic boy mums, lean rather heavily into that category.
Over
because
that way.
Why would you be so upset about them having to share air with a female student? Because the school itself has said it's not starting with all of the grades. It's
could
starting with the juniors.
Were?
Yeah.
That'd be like World War III.
It's only starting with the primary school end.
Yeah.
So it's kids that haven't really figured out any of the other urges that come along with puberty.
Yeah.
It's kids.
I just put it, like, that much pent-up energy, put it into something a bit more, that's got a bit more substance. You know, to get behind. Get behind, I don't know, literally pick a charity. You know, chuck it in that way. Or...
You
know,
could probably end the war in Ukraine with that much passion.
I know. You probably could.
You might even be able to get a ceasefire in Gaza.
Maybe. yeah, like there's definite, like, things that, you know, put that hectic amount of anger towards something that's going to help. This will happen. Like, this whole thing. It's been announced. It's going to happen. No matter what. So probably just strap yourself in and just kind of acclimate to the fact that
it's happening.
You're not going to win, no matter how much anger you've got going on. and maybe just find another school.
If you really want to.
If you want to. But, like, just get used to it. Or homeschool.
Just completely alienate your kid entirely and homeschool.
But where will he learn all the
social
great
skills?
Lessons from the Catholic fancy school?
I'll just send them to church.
This hurts my brain. It's so stupid and dumb. And why is it even news? Like, it shouldn't even be news.
Because they blocked streets with their protests.
Oh, my God. This is... it's evolving.
I'm serious. They lost their they lost their ever-loving minds.
They've lost something.
They've lost a lot. Look at this. This mum says her child might drop out. Okay.
Oh, what? Because the girls?
Yep.
Wow. I mean, if that's how it is.
As she sits there with that bright pink thing on her head, what is that?
I don't know what that is. Yeah. She's looking pretty smug. Yeah. Get a life. Just get a life and pour your energy into something better than this. This is just dumb. To get them riled up about. And I'm riled up about them getting riled up.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Yeah.
You're getting all red in the face.
I know, getting all red. But yeah, this was at home. Yes, I'm quite red. but this stuff just shits me to no end. Because it's dumb. And no one should be given that much airtime about this sort of crap. And that's right, I said crap.
That's right. I list these as explicit for our language because I know I can't control the F words coming out of my mouth.
Yeah. No, it's happening. Get used to it. And I don't know whether it's ever – I'm not sure how many studies or anything that have been done on, you know, single-gendered schools. But I can't see it's ever a good thing. And
– look, I will – say that in certain cases it can be a good thing where you've had kids that have been victims of violence.
Sure.
And that they have strong anxieties, yeah, around maybe adults or other kids of the opposite gender or whatever. In that case, maybe.
Yeah.
But as a religious school or something like that, I don't know if there's anything that backs up that it's good.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't think that it's so great going out into the world. Because, I remember talking to a coworker once who had gone to an all-girls school.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, as an early 20-something,
mm-hmm,
coming out of high school, going into uni and all the rest of it,
yeah,
she was mid-20s before she got over the boy mad phase because she didn't have it at school.
Wow.
There weren't boys.
Could you imagine?
Yeah. So there weren't boys at school,
oh,
for her to be like, oh, he's cute.
Yeah.
Or that whole crush thing. And, you know, you sort of, you're when like, you leave. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you leave high school and you're like, what,
yeah,
am I doing?
Yeah.
No guy is worth this much angst. Like, you go through that at high school so,
yeah,
that you know as an adult, nobody is really worth this much drama. But she was in her mid-20s before she got to that point because it hadn't been something she'd done as a teenager. It,
wow,
took longer for her to get to that point. And she had some really bad relationships and she made some really bad decisions,
sure,
because it was so later on that was available for her to do those things.
Yeah.
She came out of high school at clubbing age and,
mm-hmm,
made some very bad choices that have lifelong consequences.
Well, I guess it's... I don't know. Are there any non-elite private schools? That's probably my next question.
Not that I'm aware of, but, you know, I didn't go through
private schools. To me, any private school is quite elite. Like, you're
that's because they get more public funding than public schools.
Yeah,
it's fucking ridiculous.
Bizarre in itself. But I'm just thinking, if the, you know, if it wasn't elite, you know, families that have come from money, old money, new money, or whatever the hell it is, or their social standing in the world. Would it be as all hyped up as what it is? If you took away all the pomp and ceremony and all the rich crap that goes on and the eliteness, wonder whether it'd just be like another private school. Like if you took it away and, you know, I've heard of some kids that have gone to private schools that their family does not come from money, but they've got a scholarship or something like that, and they've always felt like they're on the outer.
Yeah.
Because blah blah's dad does this, and they're going to get some sort of streamlined process into being
a CEO.
CEO at like 15 or something.
Yeah.
You know.
They know the right people to get them. They've got those right contacts to get them to this. Yeah.
Yeah. And like a couple of them have been asked to leave because they're bringing the curve down. So they don't want them to graduate grade 12 at this particular private school because they don't want the whole average of that grade
to come down.
So they said, look, you're not doing the best. Like everyone else is pretty up there and pretty great. But like if you could maybe just slink out and drop out, that'd be great.
Yeah, you can take your tests privately over there. Yeah. But don't link it to us.
We don't want to have anything to do with you. And these are scholarship students as well. So just it's all the layers of hypocrisy and just the yuck.
Well, you sort of sometimes I see it with people that I know, and like they may not be rich, but they're of that higher economic level than say I am or my parents were when I was growing up, and they don't even realize it.
Mm.
And then they're like, they do certain things, and I sit there and I go, are you aware of how privileged that sounds?
Mm-hmm.
It's like they'll do things for their kids, and you're like, are you aware of how off that sounds?
Mm.
Like those break-ins down the coast, and some of those kids come from quite rich families.
Yeah.
And then there's some of them, like the judges are standing there going, we can't do anything, they're juveniles.
Yeah.
Like our hands are tied, there's only so much we can do. And some of them, it's gotten so bad that their parents, being rich enough, have just picked the kids up and left the country for an extended holiday.
Yeah.
And it's like, what does that teach them?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
This is the thing that gets me, is that some of these kids have answered why they're doing these things, why they're breaking in and nicking off with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is, I like the adrenaline of it.
Mm.
Okay, well, if you're that rich and your kid is obviously looking for that much of an adrenaline rush, put your money into something to keep them going with the adrenaline.
Yeah.
All right. So that they don't need to knock off on someone's shit.
Yeah.
They want a fast-paced life.
Mm.
Okay. Teach them the skills to be a rally driver. Teach them the skills to be, you know, they're young enough. You can take them out surfing. You can take them to do all of this amazing stuff, but you take them to Europe or America or, you know, South America or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you get back, they fall in with the same crowd, do the same things, and you're sitting there going, I don't understand. I've done all this stuff for my kid. The kid told you exactly what they need,
mm-hmm.
and you ignored it and did something else instead.
Yeah.
You have the money. You clearly have the money because you just took a 12-month vacation.
Yeah.
Boot camp, people. Yeah, and sometimes that doesn't even work because, I mean, what's a kid worried about?
Mm.
Sometimes it's not even a lack of discipline. It's literally just, I want to be away from my parents.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it's a whole ish, this. And, yeah, I just don't think it's doing anyone any good being split up. I think at the very minimum, you know, if you are a single-gendered school, you must have something to do with your sister's school.
Yeah, because, I mean, the amount of anxiety it could create in an adult that has never learned how to deal with, speak to, or cope with interactions with the opposite sex.
Yeah.
It must be, like, really hard watching all of these other people go about their days and have these conversations and be like, oh, no, I can't talk to her.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Because I've never talked to a girl before. You're 22. What do you mean you've never spoken to a girl?
Yeah. That'd be a lot.
Yeah.
Because you haven't sort of gone through the various, the journey.
Yeah.
You know, across all the grades and how everyone, you know, evolves and changes and like what we were just saying. But it's almost like you've gone from prep, being around some females. you know, and then you've skipped a whole bunch of years, yeah, and then just being plopped
into uni.
Into uni where there's, yeah,
no real escape from it because they're in all your classes, yeah, and they're in the lunch areas and the cafeterias and shit. And
yeah, that's horrible.
Okay, well, if you would like to move on to the next topic, I
would like to discuss with you the 9-month cruise.
Okay.
And now, do you know anything about the 9-month cruise?
Well, all that's in the title is the 9-month cruise.
Okay. So you don't know anything about it at all? You've not seen
anything? I've heard of cruises, and I know what 9 months is. So
you've not heard anything about this 9-month cruise about...
No.
Like, it's been in the news for a couple of years now.
No, I haven't really, no.
Okay.
A lot of the things that you find, I'm not aware of.
I've noticed this.
I'm not living under a rock, I promise you.
I'm not so sure about that. I'm just not so sure about that. All right, so the 9-month cruise is being held by Royal Caribbean.
Yeah.
It was advertised for a couple of years because it's an around-the-world cruise. Such a long cruise, right?
Sure.
Now, it's...
I mean, I've heard of longer periods of time, but...
Yeah, but this one was... It's meant to be this amazing...
Okay.
So you had... Originally, you could only buy the ticket for the whole cruise, right? It's these ticket... Yeah. You couldn't buy, yeah, like, a segment. You could buy for the whole cruise, the uh-huh, whole 9 months, uh-huh, but you couldn't do, like... Just this section.
Okay.
And some of these tickets were in the hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Hundreds? Hundreds. Not what I was expecting you to say, but all right.
Yep. So depending, obviously, on how good a room you want, they've got rooms that are like two-story apartments. So you've got like the bedroom upstairs and then you've got the living room and the kitchen and the... bathroom downstairs, like a little kitchenette, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, with a balcony and big view and everything.
Must be nice.
So those are the really expensive style rooms. And yeah, then you've got the, I think originally one of the cheapest rooms you could get was still about $50,000. And that's one of the interior cabin rooms. There's like no windows. There's... It's just in the center of the ship and it's really dinky and tiny.
What?
Yep.
Okay.
And it embarked on its 9-month journey in December, before like Christmas. I know, right?
All right.
It set sail in December.
Yeah.
So I think it was only a couple of weeks in because I don't think it was even Christmas yet and the first drama started.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yes. I have a feeling that everyone who didn't buy a ticket on this ship kind of already knew there's going to be problems.
Okay.
Because you're stuck with the same few hundred people for 9 months.
Ew.
I won't go on any cruises.
I've never done a cruise and nor do I intend to.
No, there's only one cruise that kind of, sorry, two cruises that kind of interest me. And both of them, you're only on the boat at night.
Uh-huh.
So it's like the European Canal Cruise, the River uh-huh. Cruise.
Does you he stop? Cruise?
No. You stop in new cities like every day.
Yeah.
And then you travel up the river at night. So
yeah,
don't really stay on the boat.
Virgin Cruise.
Scenic.
Yeah.
And then the other one is the Mekong River Cruise. Mm-hmm. That's the only other one that I'm really interested in. So just those two.
Yeah,
the only ones that have ever sort of been like, oh, that could be interesting to do. But otherwise, I'm like, I certainly don't want to do an ocean cruise where you're stuck on the boat for days at a time. No, thank you. It's too claustrophobic for me.
Yeah.
Even on that giant freaking ship. So one of the one of the first dramas that came out of it was the fact that they had changed the tickets. So you didn't have to just buy the whole package anymore.
Sure.
Because there were so many empty rooms on the boat, they started selling segments. So now you could buy just for the North America or just for the South America or just for the Australia, New Zealand.
So you could just do those things, which makes more sense to me because you would think that you would have it opened up like that. But once they boarded and they started traveling, they realized that the people that were segmenters, as they're being called, that were only doing this section or that section, were being treated to the... were being treated different to the round worlders.
You were going to say this.
World worlders. But then there's another level to that as well, because Royal Caribbean, which is the which is the ship, the company, and the ship itself is Serenade of the Seas, they have a VIP membership tier. Oh my god, that eye roll. That's the pinnacle members.
Yeah.
And then the pinnacle members are being treated better again. I know, it gets better because recently it's come out that they've opened a new tier of pinnacle membership, so now there's two tiers of pinnacle. So it's like, you were this good, but now you're only this good.
Oh my god. Elite gone mad.
Yeah. It's like elite, you're now a pinnacle member, and then you're an elite pinnacle member. But here's the best thing about pinnacle membership. Your grandfather could earn it for you.
Oh.
You get grandfathered into that loyalty program.
Yeah.
So there's people on this boat that have never cruised in their life that are using their grandfather or their parents or whatever pinnacle membership, and they're getting all of these bonus things. Okay. And then there's people that have paid $50,000 to be part of this cruise that are being left out of basic stuff. They're being left out of the Facebook groups. They're being left out of the meetings to decide what tours and what activities they're going to do on land. And they're even being sent notices on board from the cruise director, like the customer service director, on how they should behave better. There were people brawling on board the boat. And when you get onto a cruise ship, from my understanding, because as we have established, neither of us have ever been on board a cruise ship.
No.
You have to sign, like, a behavioral policy that you're going to treat the other guests and staff with a basic level of respect, that you're not going to get physically violent or abusive or anything like that. So apparently there's these people that have been brawling on board the boat, but nothing's happened because they're pinnacle members. But then there's apparently this one particular incident that's happened off board the boat, so on shore at an excursion, but it was an excursion run by the cruise.
Uh-huh.
So you would think that you would be held to the same
behavioral
standard, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a cruise.
Yeah.
Excursion, but apparently this pinnacle member has been harassing for days, possibly weeks, a family with kids that is on board the boat that are not pinnacle members because they didn't want the kids on that.
Sure.
And I'm like, you're on a cruise. You're not on an adults only cruise. You're just on a cruise. There are cruise lines that do adults only so that you don't have to worry about kids, but this is not one of them.
Which there was outrage for.
Yeah, which is weird to me because I don't think that it's a huge drama.
I don't think the kids are offended.
No, I don't think the kids give two shits. Half the time they're being left in the frickin' playpen anyway. You can slide down that 20 frickin' feet slide. It's fine.
I did not think this is what I'd be hearing. Here we are.
There we are. So there's all of that. This guy apparently got quite physically violent and verbally abusive. But nothing's been done because he's a pinnacle member. They had to take an incident report. It got that violent. I hate
these pinnacle members. Yeah. I've not met any of them. I hate them all.
Yeah. It's all over TikTok. It's all over YouTube. There's a YouTuber where I watch Marky, and he keeps doing it. He keeps doing these updates, and it's freaking... He's created a whole intro for it and everything. On this episode of the 9-month cruise.
I mean, you've got 9 months of content, so yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's even thinking about getting on the boat.
Don't be a Pinnacle member.
Oh my god. There's an Australian comedian, and I think he does like political commentary as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's got tickets, and he's going to get on the boat. No.
Oh.
Christian Hull.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to get on the boat.
Yeah.
But it was hilarious because he... they've had issues because so many people have become viral from what's happening on the boat. That they're now having to watch what passengers are posting because it's giving them a bad name.
I mean, which, so far we've not heard great things.
No, we've not. But Christian got his room allocation sent to him and he's like, I was hoping I'd have like a room that was like tucked out of the way and I could like, you know, sneak in and out and just, you know, do what I need to do. And he's like, no. They've like put me right outside the cruise director's office, right in front of the elevators. It's like, there will be no sneaking. They'll be watching everything I do.
They must have put a tracker on him.
No. There was a guy in, I can't remember if he was English or American, but he was funny to watch. He actually got sponsored. He's like, I can't afford to go on this boat, but I need all the drama. Like, send me in there with cameras. I will find the drama and expose it. I will be right there. A book publishing company sent him on board so that he could have a book club on board the boat. And he did. He went on. He did one segment. And then he got invited by a Pinnacle member to do his book club in the Pinnacle Lounge. And another Pinnacle member, they weren't even filming it, they were just sitting there reading a book and discussing the book. It was an actual, like, he was actually doing the book club like he'd been asked to.
Yeah.
And another Pinnacle member.
Oh, no.
Rang.
Oh, no.
Had him kicked out of the match. I mean, these are just like, that's just one of the funny things that has happened. There's been so many really bad things that have happened. Like, there was this, they have, for cruises this big, they often have galas beforehand so you can get to know a few of the people.
They often have guns. It's like, Jesus.
No, that would be a really bad idea, even if it is an American line. No. They have galas so that you can kind of meet a few of the people that are going to be on board beforehand. And there was this girl, and she went to the gala, and people thought that she was staff.
Why? Oh, no.
I would say racism.
Oh, my God. This is turning out to be the worst.
That was before the boat even, like, started having passengers on board. And then when she was on board, she got mistaken for staff again. And then she got mistaken for staff by the staff.
Oh, my God.
And then she got asked, like, well, how can you afford the tickets? Are you independently wealthy or something? Like, I don't know. Her composure seems to be great because my composure would have been, none of your fucking business, mate.
Yeah.
Stick it up your cry hole.
Yeah. I have no words. This is so dumb. I'm going to say what I said about the last thing we talked about. This is so dumb. And why? Why do we need class systems? Why? No one needs that.
I don't know. But, like, it doesn't stop there. It's continued. There is one girl on... One girl. It's a woman, an older woman. But she has her TikTok and it's gone viral and that because she had pineapples. And apparently if you have an upside down pineapple on your door, it means you're a swinger.
Okay.
That's apparently well-known cruise law.
Oh.
And she's like, no, it's the right side up. I just like pineapples. But she's like, she seems to be really nice and sweet. I'll actually think I'll be devastated if something comes out that she's not this nice, sweet old lady because she seems really nice.
Yeah.
And she's been keeping people up to date on, like, the shit that's going on board because they've not been able... They've just made port in the last week or so, and it's, like, the first time in 5 weeks that they've been allowed to make port. Because they were supposed to do all this stuff in Antarctica and that, but the weather was really bad. And then they were supposed to do all this other stuff and the weather was really bad and they weren't allowed to make port. And they've not set foot on land.
Cabin fever.
Yeah. And they ran out of wine.
Oh, the calamity.
It would be if you're stuck on a boat with all these people you don't like. Might be the only way some of them get through it. Which leads me to another idiot who got drunk and went on a rant. And it was relatively racist.
Aww.
And then the next day doubled down on it. And then the day after that realized that maybe I really shouldn't have doubled down on that. And then finally apologized. And everyone's like, nah, too late. True colors hanging out in the wind.
Who are these people?
Entitled assholes by the sounds of it.
Why?
There's very few good stories coming out of this cruise. And some of them are just terrifying because they had to cross the Drake's Passage, which is one of the worst passages to cross on board a boat. It's really rough. It's just horrendous. And they had to cross it, and they actually had to cross it early. So they lost a port. Like, they weren't able to go to land for that port because they had to cross it early.
Leave the boat. It's like some weird social experiment.
It's working.
They don't want them to ever get off.
Philadelphia experiment style.
Yeah.
But they had to cross early, and then the boat started flooding like 12 decks up.
Oh my god! If you could see my face and how many eye rolls I've done or covered my face with my hands.
She's actually put her head on the desk and started like crying. I just can't.
Oh yeah. Okay, let's continue.
So. There is a lot, but apparently the latest drama is that someone has actually died on board.
What, they don't know that they've died?
Well, I mean, there's news coming out that a passenger on board has passed away.
Right.
So, but...
Did they just chuck them overboard, or...?
No.
Oh,
there are actually protocols in place for this sort of thing on board any ship. Just like there's protocols on board... airplane.
Yeah.
If something like this happens, what will have happened is that he'll have been, I say he, we have no idea if it was a male or female, but they'll have been checked over by the onboard medical staff.
Yeah.
And then they will have been removed to a body bag and then a freezer on board.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. That's standard.
Yeah.
And then when they're able to make port, they'll be removed from the boat and sent to their home for whatever it is that the needs to happen.
Yes.
So, it just says that they've sadly passed away, but it doesn't actually state anything about the circumstances of their death, just that they have passed.
Okay.
So, there you go. Ticket rates are based on a range of 1,073 staterooms, and the full 274-night trip ran from $53,999 per person.
Sure.
To $117,599 per person.
Hmm. Okay.
And the thing that has angered, there's a lady from New Zealand who's recently come out and said she did a segment, and the thing that she doesn't understand financially is that when she booked her ticket in that as a solo traveler, she had to pay for two of certain things.
Oh.
And some of those things didn't make sense as to why you would have to pay two. So like the beverage package.
Yeah.
Why do you need to pay for two? I'm only drinking half.
What's she trying to pull?
You know, and then there's certain like trips and things. She said that you refund Pinnacle members if certain things don't get used, but you don't refund, you know, non-Pinnacle members, but it makes no sense that you wouldn't refund everyone for those sorts of things. It doesn't make sense. Like, I understand paying the way that the room is set up because I'm one person using the whole room.
Yeah.
Not two people in one room. So, but I don't understand why I need to pay two beverage packages. I physically can't drink that.
This is some weird government experiment.
It's a private company experiment.
Probably funded through the government. CIA bullshit from like the 1950s. it's too much. Like, yes, if you keep changing what's going on and having different tiers of membership and then some things, yeah, like what you just said, people are going to get mad. People aren't going to enjoy what seems like hell to me, 9 months with the same people.
Yeah.
And it's like not getting off.
Yeah. They were told that, you know, they'd go to Antarctica.
Sure.
Which, fine. But Antarctica is a protected area and you can only do certain things when you're there,
no.
Which that ship is not set up to do.
So why would
so
you
they
offer
got
it?
To look at it from a distance. That ice over there, that's Antarctica. Now you've been. Sweet.
Just so dumb.
They're not able to actually... We were able to see an up-close slab of ice that was extracted from an area that they brought onto the ship.
This should be a sitcom.
Yeah, that's what everyone's saying. Like, there needs to be cameras on board and then we can watch it.
Some sort of sitcom. This is so... It's got
Truman Show style.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Like... We saw a slab of ice that got brought on.
Can you imagine? Some people would be really excited, like, oh my god, I touched ice from Antarctica. Yeah, this is amazing. And other people would be like, bitch, let me go to Antarctica.
I'm basically here. Let's just jump off. Oh, I'd be writing a pretty angry letter.
this woman that was talking about the whole drinks package thing, that she didn't understand why she had to pay for two drinks packages when she can't consume that much. She was...
No one can.
Spoke about how she contacted head office to ask about the reasoning why and, yeah, you know, maybe try and get it back.
Yeah.
And she said head office's response was essentially, you're not a Pinnacle member, we don't care about you. And she's like, do you want me to cruise with you again or not? Because, like, I'm obviously not going to now. Like, you act like you don't want my business, but what sort of business doesn't want new business?
Sure.
And returning new business? Because eventually the older people that are using you all the time will age out of being able to go on these trips.
Yeah, or die.
Age out of being able to go on these trips?
Said the end game.
And then you want new people to go, yeah, on these trips to fill that space.
Yeah.
But it feels like you don't want new... Are you, like, trying to run your company into the ground?
But as if.
Here we go. On January 6th, fashion influencer Mark Sebastian announced he received sponsorship from Atria Books, which is a part of Simon & Schuster,
uh-huh,
to track and stir up drama on board for 18 nights.
Stir up drama.
In his next day post, Sebastian revealed a tense-filled interaction with a member of the cruise's Pinnacle Clubs when he let out a curse word. Mate, they would hate me on the boat. Every second word is a curse word. I can't
fuck
help
this,
it.
Fuck that. Fuck you.
And the horse you rode in on.
Oh.
So while the exact number of passengers on board, which could be up to 2,476 guests, is unknown. Recent footage from a traveller shows a cruise meeting where it was revealed 1,093 membership passengers were on board. So right. Pinnacle.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1,000 Pinnacle members on board. many of the people that are actually posting videos online deem themselves the ultimate real world cruise cast.
I mean, I'm not surprised.
And have started to hang out with each other on the ship to post content together.
If nothing else, what a story. Like, that's a story or multiple stories you can just take around with you till the day you die. Because it's just got so much, so many juicy bits.
Oh, there's just the amount of shit that keeps happening on board this boat is insane. But
and
it just keeps racking up.
What month are we in?
This cruise? What are we in? In just about to start month three?
We've got so long to go.
That's what they're saying. Like, you are stuck on this boat.
So long.
So long to go.
It's like a small prison sentence.
So the Ultimate World Cruise has an extensive itinerary that will take its passengers to 11 wonders of the world in 65 countries in 274 nights.
But not Antarctica.
No, it took you there. You just weren't allowed to touch it. The destinations are broken down into four segments. The Ultimate America's Cruise, which is 64 nights. That's where it started. December 10th to February 11th.
Okay.
36 destinations, including Cozumel.
Sure. Yeah.
Mexico, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, and Los Angeles, California. I feel like one of those doesn't fit.
No, I was going to say, one is not like the other.
Four wonders, including Machu Picchu, which is another controversy because they didn't get to go to Machu Picchu.
What do you mean?
It got cancelled.
Oh, my God. What is it that they're actually going to see? I don't want to know.
A block of ice from Antarctica that got brought onto the ship.
This is sad.
They weren't allowed to go to Machu Picchu. I understand that in like a lot of these cases, they've not been able to go because of other things. Like in Machu Picchu, they weren't allowed to go because there is massive strikes and actions happening at the moment, and it wouldn't have been safe for them to go because they would have had to get off the boat, get onto a train, travel all the way out, hike to Machu Picchu, and then get all the way back. Well, the trains are what this action is focused around, so they're like, yeah, it's not really going to be safe for you to go. And a lot of the cases of what they're supposed to be disembarking to see, there's been a lot of weather events and things like that. So it's not always the cruise liner's fault, but it would still be really frustrating as a passenger spending $117,000 and then being told, you're not getting off.
Because for a little while there, I thought they were going to close Machu Picchu so you couldn't actually hike it anymore. So I don't know if that's come into effect now. Coming into it might be like the Catholic school thing where it's next year. So everything's coming into effect in 2025.
I mean, technically you can't go up there at the moment anyway because you can't get there.
Yeah.
Not safely.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I haven't actively gone looking to actually get up to Taj Mahal, up to Machu Picchu.
That would be that, yeah. You'd start to add up the amount of things that you've missed out on already, and you're only at
month three.
Yeah. Yeah. And just kind of going, oh, I'm not going to get what it's worth.
They're now into the Ultimate Asia Pacific Cruise, right?
Yeah. Which is the Ultimate Asia Pacific Cruise?
That's what they're calling themselves, but you know, we'll see what they actually get to go look at. That's supposed to be 87 nights from February 11th to May 9th.
Okay.
40 destinations, including Manila, Philippines, and Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam. Three wonders, including the Great Barrier Reef and the Taj Mahal. I feel like that's in the wrong section, though.
Wait a minute. One
is not like the other again. They've not listed us, but they've got Great Barrier Reef, so they must skirt around the top end of the country.
I was going to say, like...
I feel like they're just sort of going around the middle.
Are they just pointing things like over there in the very big distance? You can see the Great Barrier Reef.
I'm thinking it's more a case of they've come up from Antarctica and they're just like, as they go past, yeah, you can go for a swim here if you want, just be careful of the sharks.
We'll lose a few, but it doesn't matter.
It's not blue bottle season anymore, it's fine.
Just careful of that box jellyfish.
Yeah, just watch out for that irukandji.
And just the various other things that could eat you. But that's all right.
Don't go too close to that grouper. Oh, well, that's a bad one.
Stonefish, careful, stonefish.
Did you say that octopus changed colours and it was really small? Blue.
Blue, you say?
Blue!
Oh, God.
We might need to call a helicopter.
Yeah, I hope this is tracking with our listeners, but those are literally all things that can, like, kill you in our waters. So, yes, we're not making fun. We're literally saying, well, we are, but at the same time mentioning there's quite a number.
If they are
of
not properly briefed, this could go very badly.
So badly, because there's just so much out there in our waters.
On our land.
Not on our land. Let's not even get into that. But yes, those are a lot of animals. The blue-ringed octopus, the grouper, the stonefish, the box jellyfish.
The irukandji.
Yeah. Another form of jellyfish.
Which, seriously, if you go to the beaches up far north Queensland and around the top end of Australia, you will see giant, like, 3-4 liter, 5 liter tubs of vinegar.
Yes.
Just stored in easy to reach places along the beach lines. Yeah. Just in case you get stung, you pour the vinegar on there. Don't pee on it. That is such a myth.
Friends
do not do
really
that.
Did a real bad thing with that. So yeah. They've got a whole thing where Monica gets stung by a jellyfish and Chandler pees on her, and it's, yeah, like, it's funny. It's a good little joke,
but
it really,
for the
amount of people that watch that show and still think that's the way to do things,
vinegar. And it, like, it's, people are so used to the certain seasons that these jellyfish are prominent at the beach that we know not to get into the water during those seasons and not to go too close to the water line during those seasons because they get washed up.
Yeah.
So we're very careful with it, but they have to dye the vinegar on the beaches so that people don't use it on their fish and chips, which, can I just tell you, having been up there relatively...
Oh, no.
It doesn't stop people. It still gets used on the fish and chips.
I'm not going to roll my eyes. I just refuse.
Yes, you are.
I am. but, yes, there's quite a number of things in that order that, yeah, if the, as far as well as this cruise is going...
It's probably a bad idea to let
them wouldn't let them swim in the Great Barrier Reef, even if they're at the top end. I just think they need to leave it alone and just say, stay on the boat. And look, point at it. Look, there's the Great Barrier Reef.
We might let you get on that glass bottom boat over there, but that's a might if you behave yourself.
That's it. That's all you get. It's just
freaking great white shark swims up and knocks the boat.
Oh, don't. Yeah, there's so much that goes on in that bloody reef. I just don't think.
It's a great idea.
International people, just if you do come here,
listen to what your safety operator tells you to do.
Yes, don't just go off brand and go, in a Hollywood movie I saw it.
In a Hollywood movie someone died.
And it's always the wrong, like they try and find the gag of what sort of everyone finds funny. So the gag is always not what's right to do. So, yeah, it wouldn't be funny. They wouldn't get laughs if they did what actually... I mean, maybe it would, putting weird blue... what is it? Dyed vinegar on your fish and chips. That's maybe a bit weird. But it's not as funny as the, Chandler peeing on Monica. She got...
Well, it wasn't as funny. It was funny to us because we know that's not going to help.
Yeah, it's not going to help. It's even more funny. But yes, just be careful if you do come over here.
Yeah.
That's all.
So after they do the ultimate Asia Pacific cruise, they move on to the ultimate Middle East and Med Pacific cruise.
Need I ask?
63 nights from May 9th to July 10th.
So many nights. So long.
44 destinations, including Dubai, Alexandria, Rhodes, Barcelona, and Provence.
Okay.
I don't know what sort of trouble they're going to get up to, but I'd say that there's going to be something going wrong.
So how many, in this little segment, how many destinations is it?
44.
Well, they're only listed 5.
That's including, not limited to. 44 destinations, okay. 4 world wonders, including the Great Pyramids of Giza and the Temple of Artemis. Now, I get the Temple of Artemis. I have a feeling that they're going to have some problems in these areas because there's a lot of conflict.
Yeah, there is.
There's a lot of conflict. And then they've got the Ultimate Europe and Beyond cruise.
Are they going to show them postcards of the pyramids? Look.
Look, at this stage, they may have to. I'm not quite sure they're going to be allowed to get off the boat out there. I know that there's been quite a few that have had to change, like a lot of cruises that were supposed to go through certain areas. But they've had to change the route that they're going because there is so much conflict at the moment. Like, it's like this Ultimate Europe and Beyond cruise. There's going to be issues there as well because that's 63 nights, 40 destinations, including Casablanca, Paris, Bruges, and Nuuk. No wonders.
It
literally says no wonders.
There's
not
many wonders already, you damn cruise.
But, like, there's so much conflict in that area at the moment that there's going to be things they can't do. And there's cruise ships that have had to completely change their, like, their
route.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
Trek.
They've had to completely change it because they were going to go through certain canals that are no longer safe to go through. They were going to go through seas that are no longer safe to go through.
Yeah.
And not to mention the fact that these guys are, I imagine, being that this is meant to be an around-the-world cruise, are going to go through pirated areas.
Sure.
Which means that they're going to have to actually get along long enough to go through the pirate drills. Because ships that go through areas that are heavily impacted by pirate activity have to go through pirate drills, which includes everyone leaving their rooms and sitting in the hallways. Because they're not allowed to be near the balconies, because the balconies will have special stuff put on it so that people can't climb into the ship. Okay. They'll have these big, a lot of the cargo vessels will have special spikes that attach to the railings on the outside of the ship that make it very hard to climb onto the ship, make it very hard for grappling hooks to get hold of. And then the spikes protrude quite away, so it's really hard to climb over them. You have to try and climb through them, in which case you're going to really hurt yourself.
Mm.
And it gives them time to push you back off. These are all things you never thought you'd have to listen about.
I just, this, it's such a surprising developing story. Like, just do you think, I think, you think, listeners, it's going to stop? Tasha has more. This is what scares me.
I'll keep going. There's months to go.
Yes, that's the unfortunate thing. Months. Not a month. Months. Mm-hmm. Not a week. Not mm-hmm. a day.
It's not due to end until September 10th.
Sweet mother of God.
It's all right. I won't update you every episode.
Could you imagine, listeners? I mean, if you want that, Tasha can definitely update you.
Well, I can't because we record two in a row. I can update you every couple of episodes.
Maybe, yeah.
We'll just do it. Hear, we'll do it as a little bit of a segment at the end if you really want to hear it.
Yeah, it might be worth if anyone's super keen on this to
nobody.
And someone goes, yeah, me, just one.
Just one. And if you're not keen, I'll probably do it anyway. Just to see Amy's,
regardless.
Just to see Amy's face.
If you have to endure it, I have to endure it.
You mean,
yes.
If you have to endure it, they have
That's
to endure
exactly
it.
That's exactly what I mean.
I thought so.
Yeah.
I thought so.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
You don't believe that?
I do not.
But on that note.
Oh.
Why don't we leave it here for today? We have been rambling for over an hour.
Oh, dear listeners, you're welcome.
We hope we haven't scared you all away for the new year.
I think if you've committed this long,
you're here to
episode
say
10.
I think it's 9.
Ooh. Okay, one behind the other one. Hmm. All right. Yes. If you've committed and you've understood that this
that.
Is what this is, yeah.
We appreciate
it. We appreciate it. We really are surprised and sort of overwhelmed at the same time about how many listeners we have. It keeps growing.
Yes.
Every time we have a little look. The analytics don't lie, and you are everywhere, not just in Australia. You are international. Around the globe. So that's really cool. And
we much appreciate it.
Yeah.
And to our listener in Guam, wow.
I know. That you do come up quite a bit in my everyday chats that we've got a listener in Guam. We're on it. And spread the word in Guam to your fellow Guam friends, family, dogs. I don't know. Whatever.
What?
I don't know. This is the part of the day. We've been recording. Okay. So
it's 5:30 in the evening
so
right now. So we are.
This is our third episode we've recorded, not just for this podcast, but we do another one called I've Seen Things. And we're going to do another one yet. So it might be interesting, this next random rambles.
Yeah, we might be a little bit lost.
You might get more random rambles than normal, because it'll just go and flying off on different tangents. Just
yeah, a little bit more than we usually do. We apologize for that.
Or not. Maybe
or
you
not.
Like it.
Yeah. Could be how you get through your workday listening to us, or how you get through something that's just bone idle boring and you want a couple of sniggers here and there.
And that's the thing, I think, for anyone that doesn't know or is new, and maybe this is you've started to tune in just to this episode and haven't listened back yet, it all really stemmed from our lunch breaks when we used to work together. We would just randomly chat about lots of things within what seemed like a long time, but it was really just half an hour lunch break. We covered a lot of topics, had a lot of laughs, and
scare our boss.
Yeah, and then everyone in the office was like, oh God, they're on lunch again together. But yeah, this is the stuff we sort of got into, and you know, to have one of us laughing or both of us just in hysterics because...
And our co-worker sitting there in the corner going, oh my God, what is happening?
What is happening? Well, sometimes we don't even know what's happening.
We really don't.
And who knew? Like I said, throughout this whole hour and whatever minutes, I had no idea I was going to be learning about this god-awful cruise. But here we are, and it did make me laugh. I did say this is dumb, maybe once or twice. But it was very entertaining, and I enjoyed the ramble, and I hope you do too. So happy listening. Catch you next episode.
See you all later.
Bye.